Let us pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth begin in my heart and be a light along life's path for these, your people. Amen. If you're a big sports fan like I am, then you know how frustrating it can be when your favorite team is playing in a different time zone. You can't watch the game on live TV because it takes place during your workday or way past your bedtime. A pastor in Hawaii shares how he deals with this issue. Depending on where you live in the continental U.S., Hawaii is 3 to 6 hours behind. If it's 10 p.m. in New York, the time is 5 p.m. in Hawaii. Because of this time difference, the Monday night football game is played in mid-afternoon, according to Hawaii time. The local TV stations delay their telecast until evening. But the pastor in Hawaii says he's too excited to wait for the television broadcast. So when his favorite team is playing, he listens to the game live on radio. Then that evening, he watches the time-delayed broadcast on TV. He says, if I know my team has won the game, it influences how I watch the game. If my team fumbles the ball or throws an interception, it's not a big deal, I think to myself. That's bad, but everything's under control because I know how it all ends. We win. If you're a big sports fan, his plan makes perfect sense. It's a great feeling to know that no matter how bad the game may look in the moment, your team's going to turn it around and win. You can rise above the stress and the tension of the moment if you know how the game ends. Our scripture from Mark's gospel is part of the apocalyptic literature of the Bible. In very vivid terms, it describes the last days of the planet Earth. Some people get a chill just from thinking of the possibility of the end of the world. Each time predictions are made, there are people who sell their homes, cash in their life insurance policies, turn toward the heavens for signs. Of course, none of this is new. Historians believe that the very first apocalyptic cult in the United States was established in 1694 when a Transylvanian mystic named Johannes Kelpis and his followers settled in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. There were 40 so-called monks in the Kelpis cult because they believed that the number 40 had a spiritual significance. They believed that the end times were coming soon. So they lived in a small settlement in the wilderness where they studied astronomy and made art and music. At least this was a peaceful way for the world to end. Kelpis predicted that the end times would occur on the last day of 1694. However, his followers didn't abandon him when his prediction didn't come true. Instead, they lived in the woods and continued to study the stars. After Kelpis' death, his followers disbanded and went on with their lives. Of course, there are still groups around that espouse a belief in the end times and that they are intimate. In fact, there's a white supremacist group called the Christian Identity Movement. Some people consider it sick and tragic and twisted that they would use the name Christian to identify their hate-filled beliefs. They believe the best way to prepare for the end times is to stock up on guns and ammunition so they can protect themselves from unbelievers so they can do battle with the great beast of Revelation at the end of time. My friends, there is nothing in the Bible or in the history of Christian tradition that would support their view. Nothing. Yet there are many passages in the Bible that tell us that we should prepare for the end. So how should we do it? We don't want to be guilty of clock watching this morning, but we do want to take seriously Jesus' words about the last days. So first of all, Jesus says we cannot know the future. That's vitally important for us to realize, lest we be led astray. We cannot know the future. Jesus' disciples fully expected his return in their lifetime. They were wrong. No scriptural truth is more sure than this one. Only God knows the future. A woman named Lita Davis tells us sitting in church with her family, listening to her pastor preach on the end of time. She didn't know that her three-year-old son, Christopher, was paying close attention to the sermon until the pastor asked the congregation, What preparation do we need for the final crisis? And little Christopher spoke out loudly, Preparation H. Christopher sounds like a smart kid, but we need something more than Preparation H to face the uncertainty of an unknown future. Anytime society faces a major change or crisis, a pandemic, rising unemployment, natural disasters, people search for some sense of control. We either seek someone to blame or someone to guide us. Just look at the myths, the lies, and the conspiracy theories that circulate on social media. We gain a sense of control when we find someone to blame for our problems. A mother asked her son, "What would you like for your birthday?" "I'd like a little brother," he said. "Oh my, that's such a big wish," the mother said. "Why do you want a little brother?" "Well," said the boy, "there's only so much I can blame on the dog." When we fear the future, we look for someone or something to blame. Another way of dealing with an uncertain future is by looking for someone or something to guide us, to provide us with a sense of comfort or certainty. We turn to anyone who offers us answers: political leaders, religious leaders, influencers, celebrities, even psychics. A woman named Hai Zhang Yin serves as a psychic advisor to a major financial and technological firms in New York City. She advises her clients on major decisions and investments based on their tarot card readings. I can't help but wonder how many millions or billions of dollars of business decisions and investments could be based on this woman's advice. I hope her clients get their money's worth. Reading about her work reminds me of an interview someone did with a New York City detective. She said, "I've gone into hundreds of fortune-telling parlors, and I've been told thousands of things, but nobody, I mean nobody, ever told me I was a policewoman getting ready to arrest them." I guess there are some things psychics don't see. Jesus does not promise us any answers about the future. In fact, he says to watch out for those people who claim to know the future, because they're probably deceiving us. We cannot know the future. Only God does. Secondly, since we cannot know the future, our task is to make the most of the present. Are you making the most of the days that God has given you? Are you using your energy, your time, and your talents to make this world a better place? Are you finding opportunities to do good deeds and to share God's love with others? I read about a British missionary named Jackie Pullinger, who made the best use of her time. At the age of 22, Jackie believed God was calling her to be a missionary. On the advice of a mentor, Jackie packed one bag and with a 10-pound note, boarded a boat headed for China. Along the way, she prayed for God to send her wherever God could use her. When the boat arrived in the infamous drug and crime-infested slum known as the walled city of Kowloon in Hong Kong, Jackie heard God telling her that this was her new home. Alone, with no mission society or church supporting her, Jackie walked into the dangerous streets of Kowloon every day and shared the message of Jesus with drug addicts, gang members, and prostitutes. Over the years, she's brought thousands of people to learn about Jesus and the love of God. And she's established numerous rehabilitation centers for addicts and prostitutes. In an interview, the editor of a Christian magazine in the United Kingdom asked Jackie if she thought the British church was sending out enough missionaries. Jackie said her biggest concern was not with that, but rather that the Bible tells us that we're all supposed to be missionaries. Jesus left us behind to do his work, yet most of us miss the point of life completely by living only for ourselves. Jackie went on to say, "This is a very short life, and the eternal life is forever. We're going to feel really stupid for eternity if we waste this one. We're going to feel really stupid for eternity if we waste this life." That's a long time to feel stupid. But Jackie has a very good point. Each of us has been given a finite amount of time and energy and a nearly infinite number of choices for how we could use that time and energy. We can't control the future, but we can control how we use the present moment. You were created in the image of a loving and all-powerful God. make sure the choices that we're making in the present reflect the character of that God. God does not give us all the answers about the future. God does give us an incredible opportunity to follow his will in the present. This brings me to my final and most important point this morning. God does know the future. None of us knows, but God does. This is our chief source of comfort and strength. God knows. Professor and author Eli Wiesel was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize in 1986. He's best known for his book, Night, a memoir of his family's suffering in the Nazi concentration camps during World War II. Eli was just 15 years old when his family was deported from Romania to Auschwitz. His mother, father, and younger sister were all murdered in the camp. You would think that suffering a tragedy this great would make him deeply pessimistic about the future. Nope, not Eli Wiesel. He's encouraged people to live with courage and hope, to choose their attitude toward the future of one of optimism. In one of his works, he writes, "One must wager on the future. To save the life of a single child, no effort is meaningless. To make a tired old man smile is to perform an essential work. To defeat injustice and misfortune, if only for one instant, for a single victim, is to invent a new reason to hope." Realizing that God knows the future gives us a new reason to hope. If we know God's character, then we trust God's purpose. In spite of uncertainty, in spite of suffering, in spite of circumstances, we can trust the future to God and to give our best effort in the present moment. Rather than wallowing in speculation or fear, we can focus on doing good works and sharing God's love right now in our present circumstances. And in this way, we can invent new reasons for hope. Even if we don't know the future, we don't have to live in fear. We only have to trust God's promise that God knows the future, and our time is safe in God's hands. Amen.